The new book, Maybe You Should Talk to Someone, takes readers into both Lori Gottlieb's therapy office, where she sees patients, and into her own therapist's office, where she lands after a crisis. But the book is about the universal human condition. Lori writes about the topics that make people think differently about themselves and the world around them. Love and loss, meaning and mortality, gender and culture, parents and children, female appearance, regret, redemption, hope, and change. Again, the name of the book is Maybe You Should Talk to Someone, a Therapist, Her Therapist, and Our Lives Revealed. The book is published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Lori Gottlieb to the roundtable this morning. Lori, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
What brought you to this particular subject?
Well, I'm a psychotherapist, and I wanted to write about what I was seeing in the therapy room, because I think a lot of people feel isolated in their experiences in this age of Facebook and Instagram, and I wanted to bring people back and follow four of my patients through what they're going through, and then I also, as a twist, have people come into my therapy room where I'm going through something, to kind of show people both sides of the therapist's world.
Why was it important for you to give that perspective?
It was important because I didn't want to be the expert up on high. I feel like there's so much stigma around emotional struggle and the what I like to call the daily problems of living, that I feel like it's important for people to see that everybody is going through something, and that we're all more the same than we are different. Even though my patients might look very different from the reader, and I might look very different from the reader, I think we could find aspects of ourselves in each person that I write about in the book.
And we see commonalities. And is there ever a thought of, I assume as you are, as a therapist, you see the commonalities of what you're going through through what your patients are often going through?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, that the questions that I'm asking about my life are very similar to the questions that my patients are asking about their lives, because I think they're the universal questions that we all ask. How can I love and be loved? What do I do with my past? How do I rewrite a new future? How can I change? What's keeping me from change?
Talk a little bit about the relationship of how you set it up with your patients and ultimately what you're looking for in your therapist to create a good working relationship.
The relationship is so important. In fact, all the research shows that more than the therapist's training or the modality they use or their area of expertise, the most important factor in the success of somebody's therapy is the relationship they have with their therapist. And so I think it's very important that when you go to a therapist, you're very aware of, do you feel understood? Do you trust this person? What is the relationship like? And if for whatever reason it's not working, that you can bring that up with your therapist so that you can decide together whether something is going on in the relationship that is going on in other areas of the patient's life that might be problematic, and this would be a good opportunity to understand that, or whether maybe it's just not the right fit and they do need to see somebody else.
Can you give us an example of why it wouldn't work? I mean, is this something you feel, or are there concrete things to say, oh, okay, this isn't working out?
I think sometimes it just doesn't click. It's not very often, but it's often enough that I think people need to be aware of it and not feel shy about bringing that up. What people do in the therapy room tends to be exactly what they do outside of the therapy room. So if somebody is having problematic relationships out there, they probably will have some of those problems will come into the relationship with the therapist. But at the same time, sometimes something's just not right in the chemistry between the two people. And in those cases, it's not helpful to the person to continue working with someone that they're not clicking with.
The book begins with a personal crisis. You wanted it to begin that way.
I did. That was intentional. I wanted to start with me as the very first patient that you meet.
And through that, what then, how does that set the tone of the book to go on?
I think it normalizes the experience. So you see somebody struggling with something, and then you realize, oh, it's a therapist, and then you see me also very, competently, I hope, handling my work as a therapist. And you see both sides of that. And I think we all have those sides to ourselves. There's the very competent side that we all have, and then there's the side where we're working on something.
When you talk about that working on something, give us an idea of what that's like, how you like to work with a patient. There's that time that they are in your office, but it goes beyond that too, doesn't it?
It does. I think therapy is hard work in a good way, meaning that if you're just coming to download the stories of the week, you're not going to get anything out of it. It requires you to see yourself in a way that you aren't normally seeing yourself. Or that you maybe sometimes see yourself but don't normally like to be seen. So a therapist will hold up a mirror to you and say, look at your reflection. Look at the ways that, for example, you're shooting yourself in the foot in this way and it's a pattern and you keep ending up in the same place over and over. And then when you leave the therapy room, we always say insight is the booby prize of therapy because you can have all the insight in the world in terms of what your patterns are. But if you don't make change out in the world, the insight is useless. So you do have to use that insight out in the world and make concrete changes. Otherwise, you're just coming in and talking about the insight for 50 minutes a week, but you're not changing anything in your life, and you're going to remain stuck.
You get the idea in the book that the relationship you have with your colleagues and the time you spend with them and talking about cases is also integral into the equation.
It is. Therapy is this unique profession where in any other profession, you either have a product that other people see or you're working on a team and you're working collaboratively on a project. Therapy is unique in that nobody sees the work that you do other than your patient. And so not only do we not get something from our boss like, hey, that was a great session because nobody saw it. We also don't get feedback on what we can do better. So we often meet, most therapists have consultation groups that they belong to, and we discuss our cases either once a week or once a month so that we can get feedback on what we might not be seeing or what we can do better, what we're missing.
When you look for that feedback, I mean, how constructive is it, and how specific is it? I mean, how vague are you in describing, and then in the information that you receive that you can actually apply when you see the patient again?
The feedback is invaluable because you are hearing from other people about how they might handle that in the room. And every therapist is different. And so if you can get a lot of different ideas, you can synthesize those and bring those into your own work. You know, you might not do exactly what they say, but it might inspire you to do something else. And I think it's just good to have a broader perspective because when you're in the room with somebody, it can feel very insular.
So I assume as a patient, you would want to know this. I know as a patient, I would want to know this of, oh, God, I wonder what my therapist is talking about in regards to me with their colleagues.
Right. We're not using your name, first of all, so that, you know, the confidentiality is preserved. But we'll talk more about the patterns, the struggles, maybe an interaction that happened that we felt like didn't go as well as we wanted it to, and we might specifically say, here's this interaction that happened, how might I go back and handle that next time?
It's not
as though we're talking about you and saying, oh my God, I have this person and he's crazy.
Well, no, but I would be worried about, maybe that I'm boring. Or that maybe it's...
You know, most people worry about that. They worry about being boring, and boring are not the people who, you know, it's not a cocktail party in there.
No,
you're not
there
to entertain the therapist. But I think that people worry that they're boring us with their unremarkable lives. And that's not what's boring to us. What's boring to us are the people who keep us at bay, the people who tell the same story over and over or go off on all these tangents when we're trying to talk to them and reach them. The people that we can't reach tend to be boring until we can get in there. And once we get in there and once we get to know them, if you let me see you, you will be the most fascinating person in the world.
Now, what is it in regards to what people should know about therapy? You talk about the relationship of knowing what's right. So if the therapist is very chatty with you and offering a lot of suggestions and things. I mean, that's one way of doing it. And then there's the quieter approach where they sort of wait for you to ask questions. I assume both are acceptable.
Every therapist is different, but we all have boundaries. And so the chatty therapist, you want to make sure that they are not making it like a social hour. So I think we all are trained very similarly, but we practice differently.
I guess what I mean chatty, I mean in the sense of they are more willing or very willing to offer you advice on particular situations as opposed to other therapists who would just sort of listen and wait to be asked as to how they should a patient should handle a particular situation.
Most therapists aren't offering prescriptive advice. They will sometimes, but mostly we want to encourage people's independence and we want to help them figure out what they want to do. So I think that however people approach that, that tends to be the goal, that we don't want them to become dependent on us. We don't want them to, every time they have a decision to make, to think, I have to ask my therapist and what will my therapist say. You can bring it up in therapy. That's a great thing to talk about in therapy. But then we want to guide you toward making a decision that feels right for you.
I know the answer to this question is going to be, it depends. But when do you know you're done with therapy?
There are so many different ways to tell if you're done, and it depends what you're coming for. Sometimes people are afraid to tell their therapist that they think they're done because it's almost like breaking up with someone, and we don't look at it that way at all. We don't want you to keep coming if you feel like you've accomplished what you've come to accomplish. So sometimes people will chat about very surface things because they have nothing really to talk about. They really don't need to be there. And sometimes they're talking about surface things because they're hiding something. And that's important for us to suss out. Is there something that you're not talking about? Is there something deeper that it's hard for you to talk about and that's why you're talking about these surface things? Or are you talking about these surface things because you truly have nothing else to talk about here, but you just like coming? And that's a different conversation.
Do you feel that you are done, or is it something that you will always feel comfortable with and needing that person to talk to?
I think for a lot of people, therapy is something that you go to and you get something out of it at a certain time in your life, and maybe you leave, and then maybe something else brings you back later. Some people just come in for tune-ups, like something is going on,
right,
or they feel like they want that. I don't think that I'm done. I think that it's really, for me, I find it really valuable. So I think I'll always, I don't think I'll do therapy consistently for the rest of my life, but I do think that there will be times that I go in and I go out, and that's just part of my profession and also personally what I find really valuable.
The title of the book is Maybe You Should Talk to Someone. Is it one of those things that we should figure that out, that it's time for us to talk to someone, or that it is nice when somebody taps us on the shoulder and said, maybe you should go talk to somebody?
I hope that the book for some people, even if they're not interested in therapy, is kind of like a therapy session for them, that it shows them through other people's stories something about themselves that maybe they can't yet see. And so I think that they'll find aspects of themselves like, I do that, or, oh, I've been in a pattern like that. And maybe it will help them in that way. And I think for other people, it might make them pick up the phone and call a therapist, which is great.
Well, the name of the new book is Maybe You Should Talk to Someone, A Therapist, Her Therapist, and Our Lives Revealed. The book is published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Lori Gottlieb, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks so much. It's been a pleasure.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Maybe You Should Talk to Someone. It is published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Lori Gottlieb is the author. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.